This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
This is Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the team at 980. Sheehan is back on Wednesday. It'll be Linnell in the big chair tomorrow. We head out to the phones. Our guy Ben Standig, insider for the Washington Commanders, joins us every Monday and Friday at noon here. He's kind enough to give us some time. Ben, first and foremost, appreciated as always, my friend. Anything of note happen over the weekend for Washington Post OTAs, or was it just quiet on that front?
Hopefully it was just quiet because I didn't notice anything otherwise. Yeah, I mean, it's, this is that time of year, obviously, where you want it to be quiet. I mean, it's bad for those of us in the content game, but it's, you're supposed to be quiet at business like this time of year. It looks like that's the case. Obviously, there's still the Terry McLaurin situation. We'll see if he's out there this week or not, but, again, I'm not too worried about that. At this stage, so yeah, pretty quiet time right now.
When are you guys allowed to be out there this week?
I think we're back out there Wednesday.
Wednesday, so you might get to see Terry McLaurin out there. Hopefully, fingers crossed.
Yeah, I mean, if he's there, I'm sure I said this probably last time, or you've had others say this, but like I don't, to me, wake me up if we get, to mini, past mini camp and still nothing's been done, or maybe more specifically, we get close to training camp and nothing's been done. But I expect them to come up with a deal. Negotiations are always can be tricky, and we're talking about a lot of money here. But again, look at the whole situation, and I just imagine that at some point here something gets done.
I know that Connerly is signed. Have all of the rookies signed their contracts?
I don't think the team has announced that, right? Which is surprising yet not surprising. I mean, it's not the biggest deal, and I think the one interesting thing is, like, I think with the second round picks, because there were some players who signed for fully guaranteed contracts as second round picks, which is unusual. So I think that there may be some trickle down with that, but they haven't announced anything yet that I'm aware of. But again, all these contracts are basically boilerplate kind of stuff minus some language, so I would just imagine they'll get it done. But yeah, I have not seen anything officially yet.
Right, especially they're all there, so we know that like there's nothing wonky happening like we've seen in years past. Although it's been a long time, I think, since we've seen rookies kind of in a weird wonky spot with their contracts. Were there any names of the post June 1 cuts that caught your attention?
Feel free to throw some at me, but nothing that comes to mind.
I mean, C.J. Mosley was a name where, like, probably 40 years ago, I think would be really intriguing. But with Bobby Wagner and Louisville, you're like, no. Aaron Rodgers, no. Justin Tucker was cut solely for football reasons, according to the Ravens. That was the only reason. He just wasn't good at football. I was a little bummed. I mean, Shaq Thompson was one of them as well. There weren't a lot of defensive end or defensive linemen that were on that list.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, I think a lot of that stuff is typically baked into the conversation, you know, weeks back, because it's, you know, you usually know about these things well ahead of June 1. So, yeah, I mean, I don't think there was anything out there that was of note. And, you know, like, you know, do I see them signing some vet, whether it's an edge rusher or any position? Sure. I mean, it's definitely not impossible, but my guess would be that it's going to come much, much closer to training camp, if not during training camp. These vets don't want to show up for any of these things. They don't have to. The unsigned vets, they don't want to show up for OTAs or mini camp. I mean, it's sort of seems like the deal with Aaron Rodgers, not in, you know, as well with Pittsburgh. Like, he's like, if I don't have to go to these things, I'm just going to wait. Because once you're under contract, you do have to go to at least the mandatory stuff. So, you know, like I said, I imagine if there's going to be any activity, it's going to be several weeks from now, and it gives Washington a chance to, you know, to take a longer look at what they have, you know, whether it's new, you know, rookies or vet or free agents they signed, or just even their own guys coming back, whether it's from injury or just see what else they've done. So, we'll see. But, right now I don't anticipate any activity anytime soon.
Ben Standing with us here on the Kevin Sheehan Show, talking the Commanders OTAs with Dende sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. What is the level of optimism surrounding Johnny Newton this offseason now that he gets an entire offseason working with an NFL team?
Yeah, no, I think that's it's a great wonder. I mean, I think we didn't ask about him last week with Dan Quinn, but we do get Joe Witt Jr. this week. We had Kingsbury last week. We get Joe Witt Jr. this week. And so hopefully that's a question that gets asked of him because, yeah, I mean, look, I think he was okay last year. I mean, it wasn't a lot of standout plays. There was a game or two, you know, where at one point where he looked like he was being more involved. But, you know, I think the question for him is basically going to be his size. You know, he's not the biggest defensive tackle. You know, double teams caused some problems, but at the same point, you know, he had no off season, right? I mean, he missed everything because of the two surgeries on his feet that kept him out. And, you know, now he should have had, you know, a full off season to be healthy, be trained. And hopefully, you know, that's going to allow him to, you know, be in a better position physically, athletically to take these guys on. Obviously he was a force in college and, you know, they drafted him, you know, for a reason. I think that's going to be a big deal. I'm still fascinated, though, to see, like, what's the rotation here? You know, you bring in a guy like Eddie Goldman to help out, with the run defense, but does that mean he's in on early downs? If so, then what does that mean for Johnny Newton / Deron Payne? And then you got Javon Kinlaw. You know, I know he may be playing some on the edge, but he's going to play defensive tackle as well. How do you fit that in? So I think that's all going to be interesting. I would imagine, though, that Johnny Newton, as much as anybody, other than maybe Deron Payne, is going to get the best opportunity to play as much as he possibly can. I mean, because he's a future more than the rest of them. So, yeah, I think he's definitely going to be somebody to keep an eye on. And just lastly on that, I think, you know, if Payne, we talked about this previously, if Payne can treat this like, you know, he's going to his contract year like he did in 2022, and Newton can step up, like, this may be how they offset not having dynamic edge talent, is if those guys up the middle make the plays. But, you know, we'll see.
How realistic do you think that is for Deron Payne? Like, is there a number in mind, maybe statistically, that would keep him after this year? Or does it feel like he's on the track to be what John Allen was, which is, thank you for your time here. We'll try and land you in a good spot. If not, you're going to hit the open market.
Yeah, I mean, this is, you know, this sort of, you know, football salary cap 101 kind of stuff. Like, you know, this year you can't do anything. His cap number is, you know, just too big and whatever. Right. But next year it gets much more manageable, and, you know, they'll have to make a call. Like, his you know, the dead money situation is the thing. You know, the cap number will still be something, but the dead money drops down significantly. So, yeah, I mean, I would think he's kind of tracking the way John Allen did, but, you know, this is where the Johnny Newton conversation comes into play. This is where Javon Kinlaw comes into play. And Daron Payne himself, you know, they could, you know, they can tear up the last year of a deal and renegotiate and give him an extension. And, you know, if there's reason to, you know, that would be, I'm sure, great for all involved. But, like, it's not like he's been bad the last couple of years since he signed that contract. It's just he hasn't been the impact player that we have seen, that we saw in 2022, that we see with guys just in their own division, Dexter Lawrence, you know, Carter up in Philadelphia. Like, you know, where's that guy? You know, I mean, it's not like the Eagles even have like the most dynamic defensive end, but you know, when you have a guy, you know, guys up the middle who command a lot of attention that, you know, frees things up for the edge guys. So, you know, I think all that's a huge factor, but yeah, we'll see. You know, we haven't talked to Daron Payne yet. I don't know where his head's at, or if he's thinking about it in the terms that we are or not. But yeah, that would be huge for this defense if he's able to, you know, find that extra special form that we saw a couple years ago.
Yeah, having a legit game record makes everything a lot easier on the defensive side, and he has not been that since he got the contract. You mentioned Javon Kinlaw potentially kicking out to play edge at least a little bit. I know Kevin has mentioned this a couple of times, but, you know, getting to see him a little bit at OTAs last week, does he have the size and athleticism to make the transition from D-tackle to defensive end, do you think?
Yeah, you know, I wish last week was weird because we were in the bubble. You know, we only got to see somewhat limited activity because we were sort of pushed into like a corner and some of the linemen were at different ends of the field. But look, he's a hulking guy like that. That's even for football players. That's not an understatement. He's a huge guy. And if he's healthy, you know, look, I mean, he was a first round pick. Adam Peters was part of that group that drafted him in the first round in 2020. He was obviously the primary decision maker this time to bring him in for a contract that I think surprised a lot of us. So he obviously is a believer. And, you know, I think, you know, Dan Quinn's had in previous defensive schemes, you know, a guy who plays the elephant position, which is more or less just a, you know, a defensive end who's focused primarily on the run, just for lack of, you know, for simplicity. So, you know, I can see that. And again, we know that the defensive end room is not exactly, you know, this isn't Dexter Manley and Charles Mann, man of the edges, who is going to be out there, or, you know, even more recently, Montez Sweat, Chase Young. So, you know, I think there's an opportunity to play a guy like that. The run defense, obviously, last year was a mess. So, you know, if they think that's something that they can, that'll help them a lot, combined with, like, Dietrich Wise on one side and Dorrance Armstrong, and then, you know, they can manufacture pass rushing as they did last year, you know, I think that could absolutely work. But, yeah, we'll have to see how this goes. It's, you know, it almost feels like it's just too early to ask a lot of, you know, questions about, like, scheme. I mean, A, they're hesitant to answer a lot of these things anyway. But, you know, I think they're still just sort of sorting it all out. But, yeah, I'm sure we'll ask Joe Witt about, hey, Javon Kinlaw, what's your, you know, first impression? What are your general ideas? How do you guys look to use him, et cetera? So, yeah, I think he's absolutely one of the big question marks for the season, and potentially a helpful solution to that run defense and just give them another body after losing John Allen.
Have you heard anything from inside the organization? We're talking with Ben Standig here, The Athletic, on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dente sitting in for Kevin. I should have led with this one, Ben, but have you heard anything from inside the organization in terms of pushback to some of the comments that Mike Florio made about them knowing they were going to get walloped in the NFC Championship game?
I haven't. I'll be honest. I didn't even see that. Was that from last week?
It was from last week. Max, can we pull that audio so I can play that for Ben? It was Florio on, it was this show, but it wasn't with Chris Sims. So there was somebody sitting in for Chris Sims. My apologies. I don't know the name, but this is what Florio said on the show. I think it was on Friday.
The day of the NFC Championship, someone I know who is very well plugged in said the Commanders know they're going to get their asses kicked today, and they're just kind of bracing for it. And it's like, come on, man. I mean, no, I know people in the building. They know what's coming. And it's like, well, you know, maybe they're just preparing for the worst. Like, no, they know that the Eagles are dramatically better than they are.
Any reaction there?
Well, I mean, obviously, I didn't talk to anybody about it because I hadn't heard that. But look, do I think that, like, there were people in the building who were like, man, this is going to be a tough one. The Eagles are this, that, and the other. And, you know, our defense has still got some question marks and, well, you know, whatever. And we've already, you know, we've already won two on the road. This is kind of, you know, we're way ahead of schedule. Sure, but, like, I don't buy for a minute that, like, Dan Quinn and the players thought this way. And, look, obviously the final score was what it was. But unless I'm misremembering things, like, it was not like, you know, like, the score was closer, was a lot more of a game than the final score indicated. I mean, look, the Eagles controlled throughout, starting with the Saquon Barkley touchdown run. But, right, I mean, if De'Ami Brown doesn't fumble at one time, you know, it was like, as a lot of football games are, you know, a couple plays go a different way. I'm not saying Washington wins, but, you know, maybe the score doesn't get out of hand the way that it did. So, no, I don't. I would be surprised if anybody, if coaches, players, thought that way. Again, if you're being realistic, sure, the odds of Washington winning were, you know, were pretty long. I mean, look, they had the momentum they have. I think I picked them to win just because I was like, I'd give up saying they're going to lose. And look, they had just beaten Philly, right, in the previous game. So when they met, so I don't know. I find that hard to believe that anybody who's actually involved in the game felt that they were going to get blown out or lose.
Yeah, that was similar to what I felt. And I also feel like if that was really the case, wouldn't we have heard about it way before – at this point it was May, but wouldn't we have heard about it way before May if Florida had this information? Like, it feels like a weird time to drop that.
Yeah, and also just like, again, if it were people who were like any of the main principals involved, if this were true, we'd have a lot of questions about what's going – like, what kind of team – like, just in general in sports, not to see Washington, when all of us on the outside are going, oh, my God, this is a blowout, no chance, I don't, you know, the players and the coaches generally don't think that. That's, you know, like, that's the nature of competition. You go out there and you think, why not us? So I don't, I just find it hard to believe that anybody would realistically, you know, again, of the main people would have kind of thought that way. And, again, they had just beaten Philly few weeks prior. Now they were on this crazy run, you know, closing out the regular season on a winning streak, beating Tampa and Detroit. I mean, you know, they crushed Detroit. You know, if anything, they're riding high. If anything, you might almost think they're feeling maybe not overconfident, but, you know, like, well, why not us? Why would you? Yeah, so no, I find that hard to believe. But again, if somebody in the building was like, oh, let's be realistic. I mean, look, because I know, like, I did the game of, like, look at the 22 players on offense and defense starting. How many guys for Washington could start for Philly? And the list is, you know, it's definitely like one hand, and that's even counting like Jaden Daniels. And it's not like you would say if you're the Eagles, well, we have to take him over Jalen Hurts, you know, like, so yeah, I think from that perspective, yeah, it's easy to say, yeah, Philly's going to win this game, but I don't think that they thought that.
What is your level of excitement for the NBA Finals with the Thunder and Pacers?
You know, look, obviously, I think the thing to me is, like, I know people are going to focus on TV ratings, and that stuff doesn't matter for any of us. It just is like a matter of, you know, are advertisers getting the bang for their buck for the NBA, and that's not a problem for any of us. I think the thing is that, like, there's no legacy here in play. I mean, if this is the start of a SGA run towards truly being, you know, a top 100 player in the league because it's the first of several titles, well, then perhaps we'll look back on it that way. But for now, I don't think this is – it's not the sexiest matchup. I do think from a pure basketball standpoint, though, I think it's pretty intriguing. I get the Oklahoma City, based on their total record regular season playoffs, is the favorite. But, you know, you look at this, like, their biggest strength is their depth. Well, Indiana has a pretty decent rotation depth-wise, you know, relative to a lot of other teams we've seen in the playoffs. You know, defensively, we saw how guys like Nembhard really got out on Jalen Brunson. Not that Brunson didn't get his points, but, you know, they've got defensive guys as well. You know, Oklahoma City is the younger team. I know Caruso has postseason experience, but you know, Indiana has more of that. So I don't know. I actually think it's closer on paper than people think. I think for me, the ultimate question is probably going to be, you know, outside of the obvious things like, you know, making three-pointers, but like Oklahoma City's perimeter defenders are, you know, top-notch. How much are they able to disrupt Tyrese Halliburton, cause turnovers from him, and, you know, get the Pacers three-point shooters kind of guessing what's going to happen. I think Indiana can do some of that back, but that's where I think Oklahoma City has a little bit of an edge. So if they can disrupt Halliburton and, you know, the other perimeter guys, I think that's where they can win. But I don't think this is a particularly one-sided affair. I don't know if people are saying that, but I think this is closer than, you know, what the experts think.
Oh my God, it feels like people won't stop saying that. I got to be honest, Ben, I've already bet the Pacers because I've just heard so many people be like, this is a sweep, this is a five-game series, that just naturally I've decided to go against it. I do think that it'll go at least six games. I think Indiana takes at least a couple from Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing that's really fascinating is, you know, Indiana, like, they just want to run and run and run. Their fast break in the last game against the Knicks, like, it didn't look like an NBA team. It looked more like, you know, peak Kentucky with John Calipari and his, you know, and Anthony Davis teams going up against, like, the worst team in the Ivy League. Like, they were just, like, running on made baskets. And, you know, Oklahoma City wants to push the tempo, too. So this is not a series where either side is like wants to slow it down necessarily. They may have to or may choose to, but you know, they can keep up with how Oklahoma City performs. And you know, in general, other than SGA, like it's not like Oklahoma City's been getting consistent offense game in, game out from some of the other guys. I mean, Jalen Williams is really good. Obviously, Chet Holmgren had his moments, but I mean, you know, so did some of the other guys. I mean, obviously, like Pascal Siakam. Like, I think he's a better number two guy than anybody on OKC. So, yeah, is somebody tweak an ankle? Who gets in foul trouble? Is somebody clanking threes or somebody just, you know, surprisingly making them all? I think it's like that. I don't think this is a five-game series either, at least not in any kind of blowout fashion.
Yeah, going to be a lot of overbets in terms of the total because those numbers are going to be gargantuan, I think, on the scoreboard. I'll get you out of here on this one. Are you worried that ESPN is going to mess with inside the NBA to the point of no repair?
Well, I mean, I don't know enough about it all, but it sounds like the production aspect is going to remain intact. So I guess the question is, look, ESPN is obviously like already loosened standards when it comes to, say, the Pat McAfee show. So, you know, I would think that they're, you know, going to kind of do that as well here. I think the bigger question I kind of have is, like, what's it like? Like, let's just say that the Inside the NBA is the new pregame show, right? Okay. Mm-hmm. What about the postgame show? I mean, one of the I DVR Inside the NBA postgame, even if I'm not watching the actual game, just because you never know what obviously Barkley and them are going to say or do. So that's going to be true, but that goes more than a half an hour. Has this become like an ESPN2 thing, a streaming thing or nothing? Like, is it just more of a, hey, we only have a half an hour to do this? I think to me, that would be the crusher because you need these guys are long form post game in particular. That's what makes it work, that they can go off script, do whatever they kind of want. Will ESPN allow that to happen? Give them the time to do it? That, to me, would be the bigger issue. The rest of it, you know, if it's the same general people who are producing and directing and all that, I would think it would be similar. But hopefully they don't mess it up.
Well, especially because they don't have, like, I don't know that they have an official postgame show right now, Ben, on the mothership, but they do have an unofficial postgame show in the form of SportsCenter with one Scott Van Pelt. So I don't know if you want to have, like, it almost feel like you'd be cannibalizing audiences if you have one against the other, both on your platform.
It's true. They already have the Monday Night Football going up against the Manning cast, right? So they already kind of do this in, like, other forms. And, you know, look, if you're going to have Barkley and them, even I think Van Pelt would be like, hey, look, this is you got to get these guys on there. I mean, it makes sense to have Van Pelt as the postgame versus the current iteration of their show, which is just terrible.
Yeah.
But you know, if you're going to have Barkley in them, again, maybe it makes more sense to put them off of ESPN and put them on, whatever, again, ESPN2 or something else, because if you're going to give them more time. But so I can see it still going both. Like I said, they do this for football, for actual games. So, you know, we'll see. You know, I'm certainly tuning in to the Barkley, Kenny, all that group whenever possible.
Ben, appreciate it as always. Enjoy you this week of OTAs.
Denton, always appreciate it, man. Talk soon.
That is Ben Standing, the Commanders insider here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. You can see him in all of his writing on The Athletic and listen to his podcast, Last Man Standing, as well. Sam Monson of the 33rd team is going to join us in 15 minutes. When we get back, we'll take a look at some of those post-June 1 cuts, if anyone is worth looking at for our Washington Commanders. It is the Kevin Sheehan Show on the Team 980 with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. Don't go anywhere.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Bye. Sam Monson, the 33rd team, is going to be with us in about 8 minutes here on the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin at the Denton Day on Twitter. If you're not subscribed to the YouTube channel, make sure you go ahead and do that. You see the Kevin Sheehan Show live 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. every Monday through Friday. You see the Craig Hoffman Show 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. every Monday through Friday. Kevin will be back from vacation on Wednesday, for those of you that were wondering where he is. We just had a conversation with Ben Standing. Sam Monson will be with us here momentarily. It is June 2nd, which means a bunch of NFL players were cut yesterday, but there were also a number of NFL players that we thought maybe could have been cut as a part of the post-June 1 delegated releases, and they were not. Unfortunately for Washington, they don't really need any offensive line help, and they don't really need a whole lot of defensive back help, because those were a majority of the guys that were cut post June 1, with the exception of like Aaron Rodgers, which they obviously do not need, or Justin Tucker, which for a number of reasons they very much do not need. The way that the Baltimore Ravens have handled the Justin Tucker situation has been like 101 of what not to do as an organization. And for so long, we have held Baltimore in this class of just doing things the right way. They always make the right decisions. They always handle things with the utmost class. Well, they have just royally butchered that with the Justin Tucker thing, to the point where last week Jim Harbaugh was like, yeah, this is really complex. There was a lot of things that went into it. Like, oh, what went into it, Jim? Or John, excuse me. But I was like, John, what went into it? And he was like, oh, it was football. Yeah, it's all football. That was the only reason. It's very much a smack in the face. But obviously Washington does not need Justin Tucker right now, and they wouldn't sign him even if they desperately needed Justin Tucker, because they actually do need a kicker. But he was bad last year on and off the field, and not in good ways. There are a number of names that could be or gain some interest and intrigue in terms of post-June 1 trades. You know, guys didn't get cut, but if you get traded now, there are certain contract hits that are going to be a lot more manageable for certain teams, mostly the teams that are trading particular players. Kirk Cousins is on that list. Washington does not need Kirk Cousins. Will Levis on that list. Will Levis is not coming to Washington. I will point out Antonio Gibson is on that list. I would not be opposed to a reunion of Antonio Gibson in Washington. Admittedly, his role is not going to be anywhere near as large as it once was when he was here, but I did always like some of the things that he brought to the table offensively, especially with Cliff Kingsbury as the offensive coordinator. The problem is that the way the roster is currently constructed here in D.C., there is no room at the table for him. You already have four running backs with the potential of more than that. Adding a guy in Antonio Gibson now, unless you want to convert him back to wide receiver, but even still, you have a lot of wide receivers on the roster. I think that's I just always liked Gibson, so seeing him as a guy that could be traded in the post-June 1 is fascinating. Jalen Ramsey, we had a lot of conversation about last week. I'm just reading off of this CBS article that lists some of the noteworthy names. Jaire Alexander in Green Bay was a guy that at one point looked like he was going to be the future of that Green Bay Packer defense, and things obviously have not lived up to that if he's a guy that Green Bay could potentially move on from. But he's only, I mean, he's 28 years old playing the defensive back. You need a little bit of swag. I think the money that could be saved by Green Bay is about $17 million. The thing is, this goes for Jalen Ramsey as well. Washington already is a little loaded in the defensive backfield. Could you get better? Yes. But what are you going to give up, and what are you willing to give up to get better at a spot that you are already a little stacked at? There's at least a logjam of sorts there, with the expectation along with that that Mikey Sanders still and Trey Amos are going to be your guys for the foreseeable future at those positions. Do you want to stunt their growth potentially by adding someone in like a Jaire Alexander or a Jalen Ramsey who would be good, but I don't know how good. I don't know how much of a difference they would be making on defense. And then Tyreek Hill is on this list. Tyreek Hill does not want to be in Miami. He has said he doesn't want to be in Miami. He only said that he wanted to be in Miami when he had meetings and they said, you can't do that and you shouldn't do that anymore. And then he's like, you know what? I actually love this place. I love Miami. I've never wanted to leave here. Everything that you heard me say when I said it afterwards was not true. That must have been an evil twin. Tyreek Hill would not fit here. He just wouldn't. He wouldn't fit here from a money standpoint. He wouldn't fit in here from a personality standpoint. There has not been a lot of good things said about Tyreek Hill, the person, and Washington is trying to navigate this organization in a way where you are fitting in with the culture of being a commander, and Tyreek Hill is very much not that. Unfortunately, there's not a lot of guys that are at positions of need for Washington, which is along that defensive line. So that just is what it is. I'm not expecting them to make a lot of moves on the post-June 1 market. Those were just names on there. So you can know the names and who certain other teams in the NFL might be targeting in the post-June 1 market. All right, Sam Monson, 33rd team, is going to join us when we get back to wrap the show up. Don't go anywhere. It's the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dende sitting in.
All right, EA Sports makes it official. Saquon Barkley will be the official cover athlete of Madden 26. The Offensive Player of the Year threatened to break Eric Dickerson's all-time rushing record last year, notching over 2,000 yards in 16 games. Lions Pro Bowl center Frank Ragnow has informed the team of his intention to retire. Ragnow played all seven seasons of his career in Detroit and is coming off a season where he ranked number two among NFL centers and was named back-to-back second-team All-Pro. The Nats, they fall yesterday to the Diamondbacks by a score of 3-1. The Nats are 10-4 in their last 14 games. Will begin their series versus the Cubs tomorrow at 6:45. and sports fans around the world are grieving today after it was announced in a Facebook post that sports science host John Brinkus passed away following a bout with depression. The mastermind of sports minutia was often very open regarding his mental health struggles, and his family has urged those who struggle with similar afflictions to seek help. He was 54. This update is sponsored by the Team 980 YouTube page. Just open the app, type in the Team 980, and hit subscribe. Kevin Sheehan is live from 10 to 1 and Craig Hoffman from 4 to 7. Don't forget to like the stream and turn on notifications to stay up to date on all things DC sports. And that's what's trending.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's the Kevin Sheehan Show. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. Max just told you in his update before we hit the break, Lions center Frank Ragnow announcing his retirement at 29 years of age. That's a big-time loss for Detroit ahead of the 2025 season. Let's head to the phones now. Welcome on Sam Monson, the 33rd team. Sam, first and foremost, man, appreciate you making some time for us. Always great to catch up. Your reaction to Frank Ragnow announcing his retirement on social media today?
Yeah, huge loss for the Lions. Ragnow, when he's healthy, and that is a significant caveat for him throughout his NFL career, but when he's healthy, he's one of the best centers in football, and the Lions have had, you know, a top two, top three offensive line in the league for the last few years. It's been a huge building block for that offense and for how good they've been. So potentially a huge loss for that offensive line.
Are they at a point now? I mean, we just had the post-June 1 moves, and there were a couple offensive linemen that are now on the open market. Are they at a good position where at least they can find a way to backfill that?
Yeah, I think they'll certainly be in the market or potentially looking around for some of those veteran names. I also think it probably informed their draft. I don't think that I doubt Ragnow only informed them of this a couple of weeks ago, and this is a massive shock to them. I'm sure that this was at least on the horizon for them or something they were bearing in mind. The rookie, Tate Ratledge, who is a guard by name, he's been getting some first-team reps at center, you know, is potentially a solution in-house, a guy they drafted this year. Everyone assumed he was cover for guard and competition maybe for Christian Mahogany at right guard or a succession plan for Graham Glasgow at left guard, each of which may still be true, but he might now also be pressed into service as the starting center or at least an option there.
So I want to talk a little bit about the team here that we cover, the Commanders. It's been a good offseason for the Commanders, great according to some. When you look at the moves Washington has made this offseason, how do you look at it?
Yeah, I think it's been a good offseason. I think for Washington, you look at it and you say, if there's a criticism of the offseason moves, it's that they didn't necessarily address sort of key areas of weakness on the roster. And I think it's more an indication of where this roster was coming out of last season. And I think, you know, Washington is in a great situation and moving in the right direction. And the arrow is pointed up and everything is good. In large part because, you know, the biggest things they did like a year ago all hit. You know, Jaden Daniels looks like a future MVP. The coaching ticket looks great. Like, all these things they did a year ago worked. And so the trajectory of this team can only be pointed up. But I think because of how far they went last season with the playoff run, it leads you to think that this team may be better on paper than it was. And it still had some fairly significant weaknesses. So they had a lot of work to do this offseason. I think they've done some. Laremy Tunsil is potentially a massive upgrade at left tackle for them. You know, bringing in Deebo Samuel is potentially a huge move as well. But it still didn't tick all the boxes. And I think that's the potential sort of criticism or area of that was lacking this offseason. There's still a couple of areas where you look at going into the year and saying, man, that could still be a problem for them.
Is defensive line that biggest spot there?
Yeah, certainly. I mean, edge rusher, I think, is a major issue. Defensive tackle, maybe better. I think a lot's going to rest on what we see in year two of Johnny Newton. Disappointed as a rookie, but he was dealing with injury. He got injured, you know, before the season. I think Mike Tomlin talks about this. Sometimes it's difficult for those young guys to jump on a moving train. And if they miss the key time in training camp or preseason and early in the year, you may basically be writing off their rookie season. They're going to play, they're going to see the field, but you may never see the player that you might have gotten if you hadn't gotten hurt at the kind of critical adjustment period.
Are there any names out there, Sam, at the edge spot, veteran guys that you feel like would come in and immediately make Washington better at that position?
It's tough because, you know, the guys that are available now are obviously available for a reason. there's some, I think, that can potentially move the needle or make waves, particularly because this roster, you know, has the holes that need it. You know, a guy like Za'Darius Smith has been able to come in for multiple years now and made an impact on defensive lines. I think he's a guy that could absolutely make an impact. But yeah, it's not a vintage group of edge rushers that are definitely available to come in and dominate it. You know, a guy like Matthew Judon was traded for a couple of years ago and didn't have the kind of impact that maybe the team was expecting him to. So, yeah, I mean, I think there's veteran players that can come in and absolutely upgrade, but not necessarily be solutions.
Sam Monson, my guest here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Denton Day sitting in for Kevin here on the Team 980. Sam, if you are the Pittsburgh Steelers, would you rather have Aaron Rodgers or Kirk Cousins?
I think you would rather have Aaron Rodgers. For Cousins, I think, is a rough fit for that particular environment. And by that, I mean actual weather environment, you know, the stadium, the outdoors, the cold, the elements. Kirk Cousins, based on last year, and maybe this will be different, you know, a year recovered from that Achilles, even though he's younger than Aaron Rodgers, he's effectively a year behind him in terms of physical recovery, you know, at an advanced age from a significant from a significant injury, we sort of saw Rodgers, I think, already much further ahead in terms of recovery based off how he was physically last year. Kirk Cousins looks like he's just come back from an Achilles injury. If that's going to be who he is from now on, you don't want him if you're outdoors. I think he needs to be in a dome. We saw last season there were throws he couldn't make. That offense needed to change to effectively take away some of the acts that he couldn't do anymore. Whatever we thought about Aaron Rodgers last season, playing outdoors, there weren't throws that were off the table. He could still make every throw he needed to. Maybe the throws that were limited were when he had to move and run around physically, you know, throwing on the move or just being athletic on the move wasn't as where it used to be. But in terms of just sitting there in the pocket, he could still hit every area of the field, and Cousins couldn't. So I don't like Kirk Cousins for Pittsburgh for that reason, that if that hasn't changed, if that hasn't improved, you're going to get a lot of rough weather games in that division. And, you know, that's not where Kirk Cousins looks like he's going to do well right now.
Do you think that they actually want Aaron Rodgers, the person?
I don't know if they want Aaron Rodgers, the person. I think they want Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, or at least the theoretical potential of what Aaron Rodgers, the quarterback, brings. And they've kind of backed themselves into a corner of almost needing it at this point. Otherwise, they're running into the season starting, you know, Mason Rudolph.
Changing up here, if Philadelphia is the best team, they're the defending champs, the consensus best team coming into this, who do you think is second best in the NFL?
I think you're going to be looking either at the Detroit Lions still. I know they lost a game earlier than they would have been expecting to lose, certainly last year, but this is still one of the best rosters in the NFL. The concern you would have about them is the same thing that happened to the Eagles a couple of years ago. They lost both coordinators in one offseason, and we saw the impact that had on Philadelphia. I think the Lions will be worrying quietly, or at least hoping that that doesn't have the same impact to them, but they would be one of the teams. I think Buffalo in the AFC is really well positioned. Buffalo and Baltimore. Kansas City had a good offseason. I don't think they're going to be going anywhere, even though they got blown out of the Super Bowl. I think those are the three AFC teams, you know, most years that are looking like they're going to go back to that. I don't think that any of those three are going to be going anywhere this year.
Have we seen the limit for Jared Goff, or do you still think that he can get better even in the absence of Ben Johnson?
Yeah, I think we've probably seen his ceiling. The thing is, his ceiling has been a bit inconsistent. You know, this is his limit, but that doesn't mean he can't, you know, just put together the kind of high end of his range of outcomes and for an entire season end up playing like an all-pro. I mean, I think he's already shown that he's capable of that kind of level of play. It's just that there's usually, you know, a 3 or 4 game stretch somewhere in there that drags him down a little bit. If he's able to avoid that, and I think it's a weird thing with NFL quarterbacks that they can sometimes put together these seasons where they just weed out the bad stretch that normally comes with it. If he's able to avoid that, I think he's able to play at the kind of level that puts him in, you know, to the elite category. I think there's clearly a step between him and guys like, you know, Josh Allen or Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson or Patrick Mahomes, or honestly, even what we saw from Jaden Daniels at times last season. But he's definitely capable of that level of play over a 17-game schedule.
Sam Monson with us here, the 33rd team here on the Kevin Sheehan Show with Dent Day, sitting in for Kevin here on a Monday. Only a couple more for you here, Sam. When I look at Kansas City, they are old. I mean, Mahomes is not, but a lot of his help is mainly Travis Kelce. How many more years do you think Kelce has in the NFL?
I think we're dealing with it on a kind of year-by-year basis at this point. Last season was the first year where it looked like there wasn't more in the tank. The year before, he'd had a kind of weird season where it started slowly, but by the playoffs, he was clicked back into gear and he looked like vintage Kelce again. Last year was the first year where it looked like that didn't exist anymore, and I don't know that he has that in him anymore. If he has another season this year where that looks like it's the case, I would imagine he walks away at the end of this year, almost regardless, you know, unless he's the type of guy that wants to wring sort of every last ounce out of his career and, you know, play until the league says they're done with him. I would suspect this becomes his last season.
I mean, if he's going to marry Taylor Swift, I would go be the trophy husband, Sam. If I'm gonna go marry a billionaire, you will not see me working another day in my life.
No, I mean, look, he's made his money. He's got in a great situation personally. He's going to have business opportunities as well. His podcast is massive. You know, all those things are huge. And yeah, I'm probably with you, but you know, you hear it from players all the time. You're never going to replicate the locker room. You're never going to replicate the camaraderie, the, you know, the unique things that come with being a professional football player. And I think it's entirely understandable the guys that want to cling on to that until the league says, you know, no more. We're not going to give you any more opportunities, even if it involves, you know, playing as this sort of diminished shadow of what you used to be. You're clinging on to the lifestyle, to the thing that you're never going to replicate for the next, you know, decades of your lifetime. Again, I think I'm with you, but that's why we're not professional athletes, or at least one of the reasons.
Sam, greatly appreciate it, my friend. Hope you're doing well. We'll do it again soon.
Anytime, guys. Take it easy.
That is Sam Monson here on the Kevin Sheehan Show from the 33rd team, joining us. Denton Day sitting in for Kevin. Max, it would not be if my wife was a billionaire, you would not see me here ever.
So my buddy proposed to me over the weekend.
Congrats.
Thanks, Denton. Appreciate it.
That was a layup. I'm sorry.
It was. It was the cleanest. I teed you up for it, man. But he was like, if you won $200,000, would you quit your job? I was like, nah, I like working here too much. No. And then he's like, $500,000. No. $1 million? I'm starting to consider it.
I mean, so this is going to be the craziest thing that I think I've ever said. $200,000 is not enough to quit.
It's not.
The older I've gotten, are you kidding me?
The more I've realized.
Yeah, $200,000 would be nice. I'd feel really good about $200,000.
I feel incredible.
But like, you're not quitting your job for $200,000. Even $1 million, you're like, I mean, I'll quit my job for a little bit, but I'd eventually have to come back and work, unless you were just like a money making savant in terms of like where you place it and having that money grow for you. If you just win $1 million, you still gotta, like, I'll be here Monday.
Yeah, no, I'm putting in an account that I'm not touching for a few years. I'm letting it grow off interest, and then I'll consider it.
Now, if he gave me like a, you know, what, a Terry McLaurin contract for a year, you would not see me.
Correct.
$30 million, that'd be plenty. I'll be good. I'll be chilling somewhere where it's nice, where there's water, probably like Utah, where there's mountains and stuff. I'll be hanging out there. My guy in the chat says, how about $200,000 a year? Well, that's the goal. In this profession.
Yeah, that's right.
That is the goal. That's going to do it for us here. Kevin's going to be back on Wednesday. Linnell will be in for tomorrow. So looking forward to that. Chris Russell coming up next year on the Kevin Sheehan Show. I have been Denton Day. Hit me up on Twitter at the Denton Day. Enjoy the rest of your Monday. The Rooster coming up next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com.
and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.